American Red Cross. My name is Andrea. Would you like to donate to the 2005 Hurricane Season Relief?
Yes, I would. I would like to donate on behalf of the Bobby Black Wolf Show.
And what amount would you like to donate?
I would like to donate $100.
And I just want to confirm you are donating $100. Is that correct?
Yes.
And I want to thank you for calling and supporting the American Red Cross. You have a good day.
You too.
Hey guys, Bobby Blackwolf here. I'm going to take a little bit of time here right at the beginning to discuss what's been going on in the Gulf Coast with references to Hurricane Katrina. It's just been a real big tragedy, just hearing it all over the news and all over the blogs out there. We have a couple of members of our All Games family that have been directly affected by the storm, and some of them we actually haven't even heard from since it happened. We didn't think it would be this bad when we recorded our show last week, which is why we didn't say anything about it, and I apologize for that. What you heard earlier was a call I made this morning to the American Red Cross, donating $100, which to some of you may seem like a lot, and to some of you may seem like not all that much. I encourage all the listeners to, even if it's just $5, if they can, donate it to the Red Cross. You can call them by calling 1-800-HELP-NOW or by going to redcross.org. The call took me about 3 minutes this morning, all told. And we're going to continue to talk about video games on this program. We're going to be excited about upcoming video games because life goes on. And I can't imagine what it would be like to lose everything. And that just not having anything anymore. I guess I'm a real materialistic guy, which is why it's hard for me to fathom and it's hard for me to really understand what anybody's going through. But we hope that for the duration of this show, for anybody affected, that we can take your mind off of it. And we're probably not going to mention it all that much at all. Mention Katrina. This is pretty much all we're going to do. But if you can, please donate and, you know, help out the cause for the people that have lost everything. All Games Radio Online presents the Bobby Blackwolf Show, week of September 4th, 2005.
Come on, everybody!
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, the show that gives gamers a voice, from a live broadcast to podcast, All Games Radio Online presents The Bobby Blackwolf Show.
For the next hour, we'll discuss the latest gaming news and gaming trends, as well as touching on your favorite classics. From Atari to Xbox, we'll talk about it all. Our Skype line is always open at Bobby Blackwolf Show, so if you can't be here for our live Sunday night broadcast, feel free to voice your opinion for a future episode. To participate in our live broadcast, join us in the AllGames.com chat room on the GameSurge IRC network or on our forums at AllGames.com.
And now, Bobby Blackwolf.
Hello, hello, hello. Sound check. Thank you very much, Aaron. Welcome to the Bobby Blackwolf Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as reminisce about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwolf. For the live folks, we're hanging out in the AllGames.com chat room on the GameSurge IRC network, and our Skype line is Bobby Blackwolf Show, all one word. For the podcast folks, feel free to call our Skype line voicemail with your thoughts on any topic in the gaming industry, or just leave me an email at blackwolf@allgames.com, and you might hear yourself on the air. And just want to always thank Kropotkin for providing the short UK news segment that runs just before this show goes live, which is available as a podcast feed for those who cannot tune in. Check it out on our website. It's allgames.com/podcast or at his site, kropotkin.co.uk. This weekend, actually it's still going on. I'm going back tomorrow. Dragon Con 2005 here in downtown Atlanta. It spans three hotels, the Hyatt, the Marriott Marquis, and the Atlanta Hilton. And I've been there, and actually, we've got a first for you tonight.
we're going to have the first female voice that you'll hear, but she's also an industry representative. We're going to. I had a short little interview, about 5-minute interview, with a representative of Funcom, who is releasing. They're releasing a new Anarchy Online expansion and two new games. One new adventure game, the sequel to Longest Journey, and then a game based on Conan. And she's going to. I'll play the interview that I had with her today, this morning, and talk about those games. But that's a little bit later on in the show. First off, I do want to talk about, basically we're just going to jump right into Xbox 360 stuff. There's been a lot of news, basically because November's coming soon, and there's a lot of news going on about the Xbox 360. First, I want to say that GameSpot released an article this week chronicling the reaction that some Japanese developers have had to working with the Xbox 360. They pulled it out of the latest issue of Famitsu Xbox, and it features a series of interviews with newly announced third-party developers. And they talked in-depth about what it was like to make games for the next generation console. I'm going to read some of these comments to you. Tecmo producer Tomonobu Itagi, I am going to destroy these names and I'm going to get hate mail. Anyway, he said, when you consider the essence of video games, you can't take away its graphics, sound, and interactivity. The Xbox 360 is the best solution to delivering the highest quality gaming at the current time. Now, Yukes, who develops the popular WWE games, also weighed in. Director Koji Ito and chief planner Shunsuke Kutsumata said that the Xbox 360 allows a game's atmosphere to be considerably more realistic than in previous consoles, which is due to the machine's lighting effect calculations. Self-shadowing effects contribute a lot to making a pro wrestling game, Katsumata said. When it comes to pro wrestling games, trying to render the wrestler's muscles is really the key point. But up until now, we couldn't even use a virtual self-shadowing effect due to hardware limitations. Now, however, not all the developers are seeing roses. Konami producer Akari Uchida said, "We had no intention to make Rumble Roses XX, get my pun, anyway, Rumble Roses XX just a usual port. We were hyped, saying to ourselves that we were going to make it a completely new game. But when it came time for the actual development, we realized that the volume of data for the Xbox 360 would be one digit different from current consoles. The number of polygons per character by itself is 10 times larger than current consoles. It's as though we need to bring the quality graphics from pre-rendered movies into the actual games." And From Software producer Masanori Takeuchi laments on the use of normal DVDs instead of HD DVD in the Xbox 360 for his upcoming RPG launch title. "The volume of data in Enchant Arms won't fit onto a single DVD. It's an RPG, so we're thinking it would be inevitable that we release it on two discs. But to be honest, even that's looking grim." Anyway, it's real interesting what the Japanese developers are saying, because Microsoft is really trying to corner that Xbox market. Now, some other tidbits that have been going on. Over in Europe, at the Game Developer Conference Europe, Microsoft announced some more things about the Xbox 360 reported by Gamma Sutra. I'm going to run down. Microsoft is implementing an eBay-style rating system for Xbox Live on the Xbox 360 so that opponents can immediately rate and comment on other gamers after playing them. According to Microsoft, this feedback review system is very important for effective matchmaking. In addition, when playing against other gamers on Xbox Live for the 360, players will be able to self-rate themselves as one of four main types, including competitive and social. So, even when picking random opponents, Xbox 360 Live will be able to choose from other gamers who want broadly similar types of opponents, from the hardcore to the casual. The Xbox 360 music player will be compulsory for all next-gen titles, so players will be able to switch out background music on every single Xbox 360 game, regardless of genre or type, though voiceover and other separately flagged audio will obviously play despite the soundtrack change. Default game-independent gamer profiles on Xbox 360 will include some extremely broad optional settings, which all games will check, including difficulty levels, Y-axis inversion setting, preferred card transmission type, automatic or manual, and a handful of other extremely common game settings. There is then a requirement that each game, on its first boot, checks these optional settings, so if the player always uses FPSs with inverted controls, he will never have to reset it in the individual game cases. And quick voice chat with Xbox Live friends will be available at any time on the Xbox 360, even if the player is currently using another game. The game will simply pause and the voice conversation will be carried out. The game automatically mutes any other in-game voice. Also, they released Xbox Live pricing on PlanetXbox360.com. They reported on a French website that claimed they had scans of Xbox Live promotional materials, and the information posted on ebgames.com collaborates it. So let's run these down real quick. A 12-month premium gold pack for $69.99 US has 12-month Xbox Live Gold subscription, a communicator headset, Xbox Live arcade game Billiards, a $20 discount on a games purchase, and 200 points in the Xbox Live Marketplace. And a 12-month gold card for $59.99 US on EB Games, currently listed at $49.99 US, is a 12-month Xbox Live Gold subscription and 1 month of Xbox Live free. There is a 3-month premium gold pack for $39.99 US that has a 3-month Xbox Live Gold subscription, a communicator headset, the Xbox Live arcade game Joust, a $10 discount on a game purchase, and 100 points in the Xbox Live Marketplace. Then there's the 3-month gold card for $19.99 US that just has a 3-month Xbox Live Gold subscription and a 1-month gold card of $7.99 US. So it looks like they're going to have three different tiers. And Rare says that, oh man, this is more complicated than EverQuest. Any other comments in chat? I am going to open up our Skype line, finally. It's Bobby Blackwolf Show on Skype. Hendrick says that Microsoft is going overboard with this stuff. The 360 is expensive enough without adding all this other crap. Rare says that he'll just buy a new PC with all the money he saved. Alt says that you forgot their Tier 4 Xbox Live, the Xbox Live 12-month subscription, free Halo 2 and one-half game for the low, low price of your common sense and maturity. Alt plays a lot of Halo 2 on Xbox Live, and we hear about it every single time in the chat room when he's on there whining about the 13-year-olds that kick his ass and then curse. Rare says that, what, at Tier 10, Bill Gates will give you a reach-around? Bobby Blackwolf Show, you're on the air. Who is this?
Bobby, this is Flavius.
Hey, what's on your mind?
Okay. We're talking about the tiered options with Xbox Live.
Right.
You know, I see where Microsoft is going with this as far as giving people options, but I do think there is such thing as giving the public too many options.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it started with the, you know, offering the core package and then the $400 package with the detachable hard drive and the wireless controller. And you know, they're doing the same thing with the Xbox Live, which, you know, makes sense. And I guess this kind of goes along with what I was saying last week. But I think, you know, it's going to end up not doing very well with the public, with the non-gaming public, with the parents. You know, what are your feelings on that?
Well, one thing is, I don't think that Microsoft's really going for the parents. They're not really going for the kids. I mean, they'd like to have them. They are aiming this at the older crowd.
And you think they're going to be, that they can be successful with just getting that older demographic?
No.
Okay.
But I mean, that's what they're,
right.
You know, they don't want the Nintendo image.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, I can understand. You see, but the thing is, like I said last week, I'd hope that, you know, because this is such a high price, and that these are high prices for most people. I mean, even for me, and I tend to spend more money than I should, it's not an impulse purchase, so I'd hope that they'd research, you know.
Yeah, and I understand that, too, but, you know, and I guess, you know, that's where maybe relating my family to, you know, someone else's family out there may not be very realistic, but I'm just thinking back to when I was a kid, you know, the hot toys, it didn't, you know, of course, we never had, you know, $300-$400 hot toy. You know, when I was a kid, it was Cabbage Patch, you know, for the girls, and Transformers and G.I. Joes for the for the little boys. But, you know, if it's a hot, if it gets enough press, it's going to be a hot item this Christmas, and I think it's going to be for everybody, from, you know, somebody's husband or boyfriend, to, you know, 12, 13, 14, 15-year-olds.
Right.
And I know what you mean as far as research, but, you know, some of those people, I don't think they would even know where to start, you know?
Right.
I think they're just going to try to shell out the money, you know, keep their kid happy, you know, for the holidays, and, you know, keep them out of their hair for a little while, and, you know, get them what they want. So I see what you're saying as far as doing some some research. And I know I certainly have done my research on it. And, you know, I'm somebody who knows video games. I just wanted to make sure that what I got, as far as a 360 was concerned would, you know, it would be what I wanted as far as being able to play the original generation Xbox titles, the wireless controller and all of that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of, you know, I mean, I can understand why technically they can't or they don't want to emulate all the original titles. You know, I mean, it's more of a thing that they didn't want to pay NVIDIA for every console sold. That's why it's only the top selling Xbox titles that are emulated, because they don't want to put the old chips. Sony can put the old chips. Like, the PS2 has the PS1 chip in it, and that's how it plays PS1 games. And the PS3 is apparently going to have the PS2 and the PS1 chips in it. So, you know,
I'm sorry, and that's the other thing. Do we know how much, because from what I heard, that option was on the table as far as purchasing the rights from NVIDIA to put that chip into the Xbox 360 so that it could play all of the Xbox One titles?
It was on the table until they realized they'd have to pay NVIDIA for each console, and they said no. Microsoft doesn't want to pay NVIDIA for every console they sell. So
makes sense.
And they would pass the savings on to us, and so we wouldn't have a $299 Xbox to complain about. We'd have a $399 and a $499 Xbox to complain about instead. However, I do want to say the original 8-bit Nintendo, it retailed at $299 at its launch. I hope that parents do their research. I really hope Microsoft helps them out and actually does their advertising right and doesn't mislead them. But, you know.
Right. And that was kind of the other thing I was getting at last week, too, where I thought you made an excellent point. You know, what we've been seeing are the demos from E3. I check back and forth between, like, Blues News, IGN, GameSpot. So a lot of this stuff hasn't really been seen by the mainstream. It's just been the gamers that have checked this out. And I guess that's where I was sort of jumping the gun on that, because, you know, what we're seeing, or at least what we have seen, were people in living rooms with wireless controllers, you know, Halo Chief walking around the couch while they're playing their games. Mm-hmm. You know, if they took that route, then I think that would definitely be deceptive in a sense. If they slapped up a, you know, $299.99 sticker price at the end of the commercial. But yeah, I think, you know, if they handled themselves correctly and you know, just specify that that's a core system. You're going to get a wire controller. You're not going to have backwards compatibility. You're not going to be able to do the custom playlists and that sort of thing. Then I think that's, you know, they will have been responsible in the way that they promote their console.
Yeah, but I can definitely see them saying starting at $299, and that's how they'll get around it. I don't know. I mean, I haven't seen any of the press. I do know, like, when I go into EB Games, they actually do have, like, the official press materials that break down, you know, it's the same scans we've seen, but they break down what's in each system, what's in the core system, what's in the premium system, and stuff like that. So at least that's there if people want to read while they're at the store. Well, thank you, Flavius, for your call. Interlogic says, parents love video game systems. It gives them less times with their kids, more times for cell phone and internet. Gita says that no parent is going to spend $300 without finding out what the hell they are buying. Alt says, look at Christmas. They buy their kid an Xbox and 10 games, and they don't look at a single game. They just want the kid to shut up so they can drink martinis. There are a lot of parents like that, but I think there's a lot more parents that are kind of getting, because of all the negative media attention that's been going on, they've been basically just glued and trying to, you know, they want to now make sure that they're doing the right thing for their kids. So maybe that's one of the good impacts of all this negative media coverage that's gone on, thanks to our buddies at Rockstar Games that we were complaining about a couple months ago. So, okay. So what I'm going to do now is, we actually do have an interview that I took at Dragon Con 2005. And while I was there, they actually gave me permission to play any of the soundtracks, and I actually have the soundtrack to Anarchy Online that I bought when I started playing Anarchy Online, and so we're going to play the main theme, which you're actually going to get to hear on the podcast. No more of the little scratching. This is an interview that was done just a few hours ago, actually, at Dragon Con 2005. I really want to thank Funcom for taking the time out to talk with my little show, and you're listening to the Bobby Blackwolf Show on All Games Radio Online.
Bobby Blackwolf with the Bobby Blackwolf Show here at DragonCon 2005. I've finally found a video game booth showing off video games. I'm in the Funcom booth, and I am sitting here with Terry Perkins, who's a project manager at Funcom. How are you doing today?
I am doing great. I've been a little hungover, a little sleepy, but you know it's all good.
That's the fun part of DragonCon, and I'm not going to ask anything hard today because she's threatened me with hot coffee, which she has right near my crotch, and that's not a good thing. So they're showing off three games, one of which I'm going to talk about first, an expansion to Anarchy Online. What's the name of that?
Lost Eden.
And what new does it bring to the table for Anarchy Online players?
Okay, this will be our fourth expansion for the game. It's been around for 4 years now. For people who joined the game originally, you know, we had the launch from hell, and it was not in the utmost peak of its performance in the initial days. It's a totally new game. We then came out with, we have Notamore, Shadowlands, Alien Invasion. Lost Eden, what it does is it brings in these new, they're kind of like mech robot things where you can put on these huge battle suits and really battle against other people and change your whole appearance. Much more of a return to our sci-fi roots in that aspect. It also has in other things like the ability to call in airstrikes and the ability to bring down terror on all your friends and enemies and organize some bigger battle raids. We'll also have, of course, additional play fields, new items, and everything that we're known for in our expansions.
And so is this going to be a boxed expansion? How much is it going to run, do you know?
Too early to say. We're not really sure there. Anarchy Online, there's no fee for it all anymore for the basic version. No monthly fee, no client fee, no credit card. This one, it will be a paid expansion, definitely. It's still probably about 6 months away, so all the other stuff on pricing is still yet to be determined. After our first game, we don't release something unless it's ready. So, you know, the time is subject to change.
What else are you showing?
We're showing Dreamfall, which is the sequel to The Longest Journey, which was one of the best-selling adventure games of all time. It's a single player. It'll be Xbox and PC. That one's about 6 months away as well. It'll probably early spring launch. That one has a huge following, diehard fans that love that game. This one, if you're familiar with the original one where you had April Ryan as the main hero, this one has it introduces three new characters, and you have Zoe and Kian, who are the two of the main characters there. You can switch between those characters playing the game to complete the adventure. It'll probably be about the same length as Fable, about between 40 and 60 hours is what we're looking at. And it's been in the works for about 3 years. Same guy that created
Ragnar Tornquist.
Yep, that's him. So I think the fans there will be very pleased with that one.
And you're also showing a Conan game?
Right. Our last game is The Age of Conan. Well, it's not our last game. Our last game today is The Age of Conan. And we have all of the online rights for 10 years to do all of the Conan, anything online involving Age of Conan. We're working with Warner Brothers that's doing the movies, McFarlane, which is doing the whole new toy line, Dark Horse, which is doing a whole new line of comics. We're doing there's new graphic novels. They're just revitalizing the entire license. With Age of Conan, it starts off as a single-player game for the first approximately 20 levels, and you can complete the whole game as a single-player, or you can do that and then move into the multiplayer game. It's still online, but it has single-player or multiplayer, which has not been done before. The other big thing is it's a real-time combat system. You can actually aim at certain body parts and cause damage to those. You can acquire battle scars and age, actually, you know, during the gameplay. It's staying true to the Robert E. Howard universe. It's going to be probably mature to adult rated. Not because we're adding gratuitous violence just for the fun of it, though we love gratuitous violence. The main reason there is just that it was a barbarian. It was a barbaric world, so you're going to have decapitations. There's going to be blood and stuff.
So on the multiplayer, when you were saying that, is it going to be a massive thing like Anarchy Online, or is it like a people go into groups of 4 or 8 or 16?
Neither of the above. It will have groups. If everything goes right, we will have groups of up to 400 and stuff. Massive battles where you can also command those battles and have a commander that builds the sieges and determines how you're going to carry those battles out. And you command these huge armies. So you can play single player, you can play small groups, you can play very, very large groups.
What systems?
PC for Conan.
And when do you know? Do you have any idea when we'd be able to expect it? Or yep.
It'll be out in 06, late 06.
Okay. And you guys are at Funcom.com if people want to see more?
Yes, Funcom.com, AgeofConan.com, Dreamfall.com, AnarchyOnline.com.
Thank you very much for being the first official interview on the Bobby Blackwell Show.
Time. We'll talk to you guys anytime you like.
Thanks.
K128. You're listening to the Bobby Blackwell Show, the best and will only show on All Games Radio online.
Thank you very much, GK128, and welcome back to the Bobby Blackwell Show here on All Games Radio Online. Once again, thank you to Funcom for that interview. So a lot of people were getting amazed at what she was saying about the 400 people that would be in that would be able to do a multiplayer games, and I'm very interested in seeing how they're going to pull that off. We'll probably find it more about. Out about that at E3, they were just showing video demos there when we were there. And when she mentioned that Todd McFarlane was attached, they were all saying that Necrid was going to be in the game. So one of the other things that I was going to discuss tonight, one of the other news stories, was about independent developers. GameSpot broke a story this week about a lawsuit claiming that gaming publisher Activision was trying to kill off their studio. Spark Unlimited developed Call of Duty Finest Hour for Activision, and they filed a $10 million lawsuit accusing Activision of fraud, breach of contract, and stealing employees and sequel ideas. It all started when Spark Unlimited announced that it had entered into a contract with Atari to develop a series of next-generation console games instead of developing the sequel to Finest Hour that Activision had announced. On the same day as the Spark announcement, Activision revealed that three of its internal studios would be working on the console Call of Duty games. Original Call of Duty developer Infinity Ward would bring Call of Duty 2 to the Xbox 360, while Grey Matter and Spider-Man 2 maker Treyarch would co-develop Call of Duty Big Red 1 for current generation platforms. Now, there's a lot of stuff here. I'm going to try to run down it. A copy of the lawsuit obtained by GameSpot lays bare the acrimonious nature of the two companies' partings, it's their words. Specifically, it accuses Activision of breach of contract, fraud, and misrepresentation, and breach of an implied contract. According to Spark, these charges stem from Activision's deviating from a development agreement the two companies signed in September of 2002. The deal followed several months of negotiations in the wake of E3 2002, when Spark, comprising veterans of Electronic Arts' Medal of Honor series, claims it pitched an idea that became the subject of a bidding war by numerous publishers, including Ubisoft, LucasArts, and Atari parent Infogrames. According to Spark, the agreement it signed with Activision called for it to make three games, the first of which was Call of Duty Finest Hour. However, in its complaint, Spark alleges that over the next 2 years, Activision induced Spark into reducing and delaying certain of its rights under the contract by falsely promising that it would continue to partner with Spark to develop the second and third titles in the Finest Hour line, when in fact Activision had already decided to bring the development of the sequel in-house at Activision so it could realize an even higher level of profit on the sequels than it had in the original game. Specifically, Spark says that in May of 2004, Activision informed Spark that it would not continue funding the game unless Spark agreed to amend the development agreement and take a substantially reduced royalty rate. The complaint also says Activision repaid Spark by usurping Spark's rights and taking for itself only all benefits of the contract, then followed up this usurpation by seeking to kill off Spark altogether. Activision refused to pay Spark the royalties owed on Finest Hour or the bridge financing due under the contract, stole Spark's idea, and then hired away Spark's own employees to develop that sequel, hoping that if Spark was sufficiently crippled, Spark would be unable to protect its rights. Spark also claims that although a multiplayer component was not in Call of Duty Finest Hour's original specification, the studio worked overtime at its own expense to create one with no bridge funding from Activision. In the October through November timeframe, a limited amount of Spark employees were working around the clock to implement a multiplayer mode into the game. The multiplayer was not in the game's original specifications, and the game was otherwise substantially complete. During the period, Activision had demanded that the remaining Spark employees vacate Spark's premises so that Activision could work closely with the key employees to implement the multiplayer. Although Spark had specifically negotiated a bridge funding provision that was meant to cover employee salaries and overhead during this gap period between products, Activision refused to provide this funding. It is also Spark's contention that rather than supply the $750,000 in expenses the developer claims it incurred while implementing Finest Hour's multiplayer, it actually charged Spark $1,882,920.97 for the implementation, which it deducted from the first Finest Hour royalty payment Activision sent it in March of 2005. And last but not least, Spark says that after it was told it was being released from the development agreement, Activision began to actively recruit members of its development staff to work on Call of Duty Big Red 1, eventually hiring an unspecified number of individuals. Activision officials contacted by GameSpot refused to comment on the Spark lawsuit. Now, this is really interesting to me because Activision started off as guys that wanted to become independent game developers. They didn't want to be under Atari's thumb. This was way back. I'm talking early 80s, you know, Pitfall days. And Activision actively shows off that history, and they're very proud of that history. Now they're, you know, trying to kill off independent game developers. That's kind of like Atari trying to kill off Activision. They would have been outraged in the 80s. Well, now they're kind of, according to this, allegedly, they are trying to do the same. It's weird for me to think of Activision as somebody that's trying to bully around independent game developers, even though, you know, we've seen Electronic Arts do it, and they also started as emphasizing the designer. you know, in the design of games, and that was, you know, their big thing. Weiland says that this sounds like the whole Joe Wood slash Perception thing that's going on with the Stargate SG-1 game. We do have one more little bit of news that I'm going to go ahead and touch on, basically for sentimental reasons. It's been going around, but a blog maintained by Cyan Studios employee Gray Dragon stated that the developer of what was the best-selling PC title of all time, Myst, yeah, they're done. They closed their doors and laid off all their employees except two of them. Their creation inspired four sequels, three novels, and a spin-off MMORPG. Released in 1993, it had amazing graphics and was one of the first games to be released on CD-ROM along with Seventh Guest. Its sequel, Riven, released in 1995, stunned the world with unparalleled graphics and story. It stayed on top of the PC sales charts until The Sims. And so it's kind of sad to see them because they were a real pioneer. And, you know, just to see them go down, I've seen a lot of great studios go down recently, Looking Glass. They're cycles. Gita is commenting on the last story. Activision doesn't really have a choice. Publishers are fighting to stay alive, so they will all follow the lead of EA, at least to some extent. Flavia says that they're a corporation. They have a board of directors. The almighty dollar rules. So, we know you probably don't have the time to look through the latest new releases each week of the many games coming out. So every week, we run down the latest releases in North America and give you any rating information available to us at the time. Right now, we're very creatively calling it New Release Tuesday, but that name's kind of boring. I don't like that name. I did put up a thread on our official forums at allgames.com to get it renamed. I want to make some little audio stuff to kind of help with it. My personal favorites right now are No Money by Wednesday and Shock and Awe to the Wallet. So if you have a favorite or if you can think of something, go to our official forums at allgames.com, sign up, and tell us what you think. But now we're going to talk about New Release Tuesday. Okay. Coming out on all three consoles, NHL 06 by EA Sports lets you play through a season of hockey with all the teams, players, and arenas from the National Hockey League. Express your shooting style with the all-new EA Sports Skill Stick and light the lamp with highlight reel moves such as spinoramas, toe drags, bat ins, and between-the-leg shots. Classic Deke Control adds to your arsenal by letting you maneuver around defensemen and make goalies dizzy before snapping off dangerous shots that can ripple the twine and knock the water bottle off the net. Own the ice like the glory days of the EA Sports Classic NHL 94. It received a 4 out of 5 by GamePro Magazine. Coming out on the PS2 and Xbox, the other hockey game, NHL 2K6 by 2K Sports, continues its legacy as the number one rated and the number one selling NHL game with more control, more emotion, and more detail than ever before. Pro Control Offense lets you take command offensive zone with tape-to-tape icon passing, behind-the-net plays, and precision give-and-go attacks. Display your raw aggression to maximize the enforcer system and throw opponents off their game. And take in the awesome spectacle of NHL-caliber goaltending, skating, checking, and puck handling with the deeply enhanced animation system. Featuring all-new commentary from legendary broadcast team Bob Cole and Harry Neal, it received an 8.5 from GameSpot. And also coming out on the PS2 and the Xbox, Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six Lockdown by Ubisoft is where you lead Team Rainbow, the world's most elite counterterrorism unit, as they are called into action in unfamiliar territory to battle a bioterrorist threat. Stakes escalate as they are personally targeted by an evil terrorist organization. Used to protecting the lives of others, Team Rainbow must now embark on a mission to fight insane some of their own. It received a 79 out of 100 by TotalGames.net UK. Coming out on the PS2, GameCube, and Game Boy Advance, One Piece Grand Battle by Bandai lets you play as a pirate in search of a great treasure. In a world of pirates, one man wants to become the greatest of them all, Monkey D. Luffy. Join Luffy as he sets out to sea in a rowboat in search of One Piece, the greatest treasure in the world. You can choose from 16 playable pirates with 32 additional support characters from the TV show in 6 gameplay modes, including Grand Battle and 2-player versus mode. The console versions received a 7.0 from IGN. And coming out on the PS2, another hockey title, Gretzky NHL 2006 by Sony is the only hockey game to exclusively feature the greatest player of all time, Wayne Gretzky, and contains an all-new gameplay modes and features promising to deliver the most realistic and action-packed hockey game available. The title introduces an all-new Wayne vs. Wayne mode where gamers earn 99 time and can temporarily activate Gretzky to go 6-on-5 against opponents or alternately defend against him when an opponent activates 99 time. Gretzky NHL 2006 also features Team Chemistry, a new gameplay system where players are rewarded with top-notch gameplay from teammates for sharing the puck and playing tough defense. And also for the PS2, Radiator Stories by Square Enix is the latest fantasy RPG by Triace, developers of Valkyrie Profile and the Star Ocean series. An emotional story about the conflict between humans and fairy creatures is complemented by a new gameplay system that draws the player deep into the game. The Kingdom of Radiata lies in a world where humans and fairy creatures coexist. It is here that the protagonists, Jack and Ridley, meet for the first time. While Jack seeks to become a knight, Ridley must accept her fate in becoming one. Destinies are realized when a war erupts between the humans and the fairy creatures and threatens to end the world of Radiata. It received a 7.7 from GameSpot. And the Game Boy Advance release of note that's not a game aimed at 8-year-olds is Rebel Star Tactical Command by Namco, which is a turn-based strategy game set on a futuristic Earth. You can join the fight against an evil empire in single-player mode or take on a friend in multiplayer mode. The evil Aerion Empire has been in control of planet Earth for 70 years. Initially, the Aerions brought peace and prosperity to a world ravaged by war, disease, and ecological devastation. Later, they controlled Earth's inhabitants through fear, using their henchmen, the Zorn, to abduct people when they turned 30. Now a band of rebels rises up to fight against the Aerions. A new recruit, Jor-El, quickly advances through the ranks and becomes their leader. He organizes the rebel forces and builds a powerful global army. Soon, he'll challenge the Aerion Empire for control of planet Earth. And that's why you'll have no money by Wednesday. Okay, so one thing I don't get is, you know, I guess it was a Game Boy Advance game. I was having a lot of trouble pronouncing Aerilins. A-R-E-L-I-A-N. Maybe it's just because I'm tired and I've been talking for an hour. But since it's a Game Boy Advance game, you just have to read it and you don't have to say it anyway. Interlogic says the Radiata Stories storyline sounds just like a lot of other RPGs. And he also says that Team Rainbow is so overrated. I mean, now they are money whores. It looks like 50 Spent is one of the other names brought up. That is all the time that we have for this week's edition of the Bobby Blackwell Show. Thanks for listening. We'll be back again next week on Sunday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific on All Games Radio Online. Check out the Shoutcast stream posted on our website, allgames.com/podcast. And also next week, I did get another interview of a fan-created game when I was at Dragon Con, and we'll be playing that interview next week. So if you like Star Wars, you might want to tune in. Feel free to leave a voicemail with us on any topic or just leave a bumper for use on the show on our Skype line, Bobby Blackwolf Show. You can also email your thoughts and opinions to me at blackwolf@allgames.com, and you can join our official forums at allgames.com to take part in our community. But for those of you here listening live on your Labor Day weekend, it's time for that All Games tradition, the reading of the chatter. Apulo, Cambot, Chanserve, DC Nate, Alt, Doomplague, Drunk Pandas, Gita, Hendrix, Oshi and Philly, Rare, and Stone Raider. Burr, Bytegg, Chrisville 1724, D5T, Dazelle, Empty Thought, Fifth Dream, Flavius, Gene Starwin, GK128, who's having bandwidth trouble, High, who's in RVB, Helter Skelter, Interlogic, Nuxonic, Meru, Mediocre, OSU Fan, Rowan Dinch, Samasuki, Sub-Z, Tedekin, The Raven, Tigerclaw, Twinson Who's Out, Visid, and Wyland. Thanks for listening to the Bobby Blackwolf Show on All Games Radio Online. See you next week.
A winner is you. If you wish to comment on any of the topics on tonight's episode, you may leave a voicemail on our Skype line, Bobby Blackwolf Show, via email at blackwolf@allgames.com, or by joining our official forums at allgames.com. The views and opinions expressed on tonight's broadcast are not necessarily the views and opinions of All Games Productions. You've been listening to All Games Radio on